This morning, I want to continue on in our review and study of our articles of faith. We have completed the first three, and so that brings us down to article of faith number four. Now, I won't finish it today, but I'd like to at least get a start on it. And I'll tell you, it's one of the most important ones in here. It's one of the keystones of what we believe and a very foundational principle upon the doctrinal truths that we believe about our Lord and Savior as He has taught us in His holy word. Article of faith number four says, "We believe God, before the foundation of the world, unconditionally elected a definite number of the human family in Jesus Christ and ordained them to eternal life and glory." Now, this article of faith, you can understand why it's so important, because this is the one that is talking about what we believe in regards to the very establishment and foundation of God's plan of how He's going to save His people. And so it's just critical and just key principle that we know and understand what God's word teaches about this important subject, the subject of election, and God electing and choosing His people. And it says that we believe those things, and the reason that we believe them is because the Bible so abundantly proves them and gives us that information through the Scriptures. That's the reason we believe it. It's not because somebody dreamed it up and decided that might be good, or it was somebody had an idea in their mind about how God ought to save His people, or maybe how He saves His people, but it's how God told us He saves His people. And that's why it's so very important. I guess if you want to open your Bible to a place this morning, maybe you could open it up to Ephesians chapter 1. If I get there, I might be able to say something in a minute about that. But, you know, I'm sure that all of you have heard quite a few messages on the subject of election. In fact, I hope that you have. And I hope that you have a great understanding about the subject of election. But it's always good that we go back and review these things. It's always good that we, from time to time, refresh our minds and we go back and touch on the Scriptures again that support this all-important principle in God's Word. Now, the term election to me means that God chose, He elected or He chose His people. Occasionally we go to the voting booth or the poll and we cast our vote and we choose or elect people to represent us in our local and sometimes national governments. God's election of His people means this: it is an act by God's sovereign will, where before the foundation of the world, He unconditionally chooses or elects certain individuals to be the objects of His unmerited grace and love, and He ordains them to eternal life. That's what election is. A lot of nice words in there to try to unpack and to think about a little bit this morning. The word that He says that He unconditionally elects His people is very important. It's very important because the subject of election, for some reason, is one that seems to stir a lot of discussion and quite a bit of disagreement among the Lord's people. There's a lot of disagreement in the world today among the Lord's people as to what the subject of election really is and how to understand it and how God applied it, how He used it and how He applied it. But hopefully we have enough scriptures before us this morning that we can gain a pretty good insight and hopefully have a very clear understanding of how God chose His people and, just as importantly, why He did it. I hope to be able to show you that. But that Election itself is very interesting. You know, there are some of the Lord's children that actually just refuse to believe it. They just simply say, well, I just don't believe in election. I don't believe God chose some people and didn't choose others. They just say, I just don't believe that. Well, I mean, all I can imagine or suppose about people like that is, well, I guess you're just really not a Bible reader. Because if you read God's Word and you read the Bible, you're going to find the subject of election taught in there, and you're going to have some opinion about it. But just to say, well, I just don't believe that, well, I mean, I think you're trying to say it in a nice way. I guess you're just basing and you're founding your beliefs on something besides God's Word, is all I could say. Because the Bible certainly teaches election, and if you read God's Word, you'll necessarily have to have some opinion on it. But yet, now, there are many others who will say they believe in election, but I'll tell you, their understanding of it is not correct. They think they understand what election is, and they suppose they have ideas about it, but it's just simply not correct. There are a lot that fall in that camp as well. But hopefully, we're going to look at enough scriptures today to put us all on the right track. Hopefully, our minds come together and we're united in our understanding of election, and we want to just try to stick as close to the Bible as we can. I mean, that's always important, isn't it? Isn't that the most important thing? Is whatever we're teaching, whatever we're looking at together, we need to stick to God's Word and let that be our guide. It's our only rule of faith and practice. So says Article of Faith number one. And so that's where we start with election. But that word unconditional is very important. The fact that God does unconditionally elect his people is very important. What it means is that God's choices were not based upon any foreseen merit of the persons. You see, that's where a lot of people began to go off track in their understanding of election, is many, many, many of the Lord's little children believe that God elected his people by using his omniscience and his foreknowledge of all things that will occur in the future. I mean, God does certainly have that. God knows all things. That's what omniscience means. He knows all things. And he can see all things, and he can see the future whereas you and I cannot. But some people mistakenly believe that God elected his people based on the fact that he looked down, way down through the future, and he saw every one of his people that would one day make a right decision for him, or one day they would maybe pray a certain prayer, they would do certain things, or maybe they would do good works. They thank God that saw these people that would do these things, and he, by virtue of him seeing what they would do, some choices they made, God decided, I will elect these people. Well, that's not how God elected his people. Amen. God didn't do that. Is God omniscient? Yes, he is. Does God know all the future? Yes, he does. Is that how he elected his people? No, it's not. He didn't base it on that, and he's going to tell us he didn't base it on that. But you'd be amazed at how many of the Lord's little children believe that. If you don't believe me, you just listen in sometime when the subject of election comes up in a discussion, and you'll find out how many people believe that's how God chose his people, by some foreseen merit in the people ahead of time. Thereby he decided, I will elect these people because I see something good in them they're going to do later in the future. That's not how God said he did it. That's what's in people's minds, but God didn't say he did it that way. So it's very important that we understand that the choices that God made in the election that God made of his people is completely unconditional. Unconditional means that there is nothing, and I mean nothing, on our part that God looked down and saw and moved him to elect us. He didn't see anything that induced him to want to elect us. He just didn't. And God did not look down through the annals of time and see people who would one day decide to have faith and exercise faith and make a move toward him. We know that's not true because we know the Bible teaches that faith is a gift of regeneration. It's a gift of the new birth. You can't have faith first in order to receive a new birth or to get life. You cannot have faith first and then get eternal life. It doesn't work that way. God gives you the eternal life, and as a result of that and the new birth and being born again, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith. That's how you received it. So God didn't look down and see someone who's going to have faith and decide to choose them. He didn't look down and see someone who had love in their heart because of the same exact reason. Love is another one of the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, so God didn't choose people based on, he thought that he saw some love in them one day. The fact that God chose them and that he born them of his Spirit and born them again is the reason they actually have love. And that's true for every one of us. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. He didn't see people that were going to make a decision for him one day. Why? Because there were none. There were none who would ever make a decision if left to themselves and no outside influences. There were none that would make a decision to choose to move towards God. There just wasn't any. There were none that were going to do good works or have certain beliefs that God looked down and he saw so much merit in that person because they were going to do a lot of good works. He said, I'll choose you because of that. God didn't do that. And he said he didn't. He's going to tell us why. Somebody might say, do you have a scripture? Do you have a scripture that proves that there's nobody that might make a decision on their own and come to the Lord? Well, of course we have one. We have multiple. But one, just for instance, is Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are together become unprofitable. When did that happen? When we were all still in the loins of Adam, our forefather, our federal head. We all together became unprofitable when Adam fell. There is none that doeth good. I know you can finish the sentence. No, not one. There's not any. So I'll agree. There was a point in time where God actually did do some looking down. He looked down upon the children of men, but this is what he saw. He said there were none. None that understood. There wasn't anybody seeking after him. There wasn't anybody having faith. There wasn't anybody making decisions. There was no one that understood. None of those things. There's none that's seeking after God. Nobody doing good. Not even one. So it was a pretty bleak and dismal picture when God looked down, wasn't it? But you know, God was not surprised by that because God already knew about man. God already knew that man would fall on his own accord. He knew before the foundation of the world, before Adam was ever created, God, by his omniscience, did in fact know that Adam would fall. But please, please, do not ever let someone confuse you into thinking that God somehow caused Adam's fall, that he predestinated Adam to fall. There are some people who actually believe that way, believe it or not, but I hope you're not one of them. Because Adam fell, sure enough, but he fell 100% of his own accord. God made Adam a good and natural man, and there was no sin in the world until you know who came slithering along, the old serpent, and he deceived Eve, and that was how that got started. That's the start of the great fall, that Adam fell and you and I fell with him. And of course, God knew that and God foresaw that before the foundation of the world. That is the very reason that God knew and devised a plan of salvation, and he did choose his people and he did have a plan in mind of how he would save his people before he ever made the world. God wasn't surprised when Adam fell, and he did not cause it either. We don't believe that. In other words, the word unconditional means basically there is no cause whatsoever in election and God choosing his people that is outside of God himself. Nothing you and I did, said, thought, or would do, or maybe could do, none of that, nothing outside of God involved with his choice. It was all because of his own decisions and his own will and his own purposes. In fact, that's what he tells us. So it's very important that we understand about God choosing his people, it being unconditional. God didn't choose us based on anything we were going to do or any other conditions. He had his own reasons that he did it. And I hope to get to a few of those in just a moment. Another thing that we understand by reading God's word and studying God's word about the subject of election is the fact that God's choices were made because he is a sovereign God. The word sovereign is very important that we understand that. Sovereign means that God does not report to anyone else. He does not check in with you and I or anyone else when he gets ready to do something. God is his own person. God is God and we are not. And he does whatsoever he will according to his will and good pleasure. And he doesn't ask our opinion about it. And he doesn't need to because he's a sovereign God. He reports to no one. In fact, everyone else, we report to him. He is the ultimate sovereign of the universe. There is no one above God. He is the sovereign. I mean, you might as well think about what is the definition of sovereign. You might as well just think God. God is sovereign. He doesn't answer to us. And that's very important to keep that in mind. God's choices, we learn from reading his word, are based 100% on the good pleasure of his will and his purposes. 100%. Not anything we do or say. It's not based on the ideas and the expectations of man. That's very important to know that about the subject of election. Did you know men have a lot of ideas and expectations about God and about election, the subject of election? Men have a lot of ideas about it. In fact, if I can get to it, I don't know if I will today or not, but if I can get to Romans chapter 9, we're going to look at one of the great questions that Paul anticipated that every single person would probably ask in their mind concerning God. Is God unrighteous for choosing some and not others? Okay, Paul's going to address that question. But you know, men have a lot of ideas that one of the reasons they don't believe and understand election correctly is they say, well, if God chose some and not others, that God would somehow be unfair. You mean a sinner would somehow accuse God of unrighteousness? But yet that's what people say very often. I mean, it's very common to hear people say that. I don't believe in election because I just don't believe that would be fair. Well, it's not up to you. It's not your universe. If you don't like it, you'll just have to get out and make your own universe and your own laws of physics and all of that. You can have your own say in the matter. But until you do, we're living in God's universe, and God is a sovereign. He's a sovereign God. And so it's important that we understand, contrary to what many, many people believe. And look, many of the Lord's little children, they think in their mind that God is somehow indebted to sinful men, sinners. God is not indebted to us. He doesn't have to save any of us. It's only by his mercy, grace, and love that he saved any. Because none of us deserved it, you see. So it's a study about God's grace and mercy to even understand that he saved anybody. So God is not indebted to sinners in any way. I promise you he's not. He is a sovereign God. Let's look at a couple scriptures real quick. What God said that he did by his own words that he inspired and he had written down and he has preserved to this day for you and I to read. I mean, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I have that underlined in my Bible. According to the good pleasure of his will. I can remember many, many years ago when a friend of mine first showed me this verse in the Bible. And those words, according to the good pleasure of his will, stood out to me in bold. They like jumped off the page. I can remember that. That was a very long time ago. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, but he had a purpose, didn't he? And he tells you what it is. He says that we would stand before him holy and without blame. Beloved, if God doesn't choose us, if God doesn't elect and choose his people to save, and if he doesn't cause the saving and the eternal life to happen, we'll never stand holy and without blame before him, ever. It's not going to happen. Why? Because there are none that seek God. There are none that understandeth. You see? There are none that are doing anything to move towards God. We would all be very happy in our sinful condition, in our depraved condition that we inherited from our forefather. We'd all be very happy there. You'd never move toward God. But God has a purpose in mind. He said, I am going to choose my people. And he says, I have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's before, I mean, I take that to mean before God ever created the world. It's before he ever hung the world on the foundation. He said he chose his people. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He says that he hath predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He's going to put us in his family. God is going to adopt his children and put every one of us in his family. He has a purpose. Why? Because we are going to stand before him holy and without blame. You see, that's his desire. God has a plan. He sees the future. He knows what his will is. And he says, I want my people to stand before me holy and without any blame upon them. That's hard for my mind to really understand that you and I will one day do that. But I understand the words. I hear what he's saying. And I know it is so. I know it's true. It's still hard to get my mind around us standing together holy and without blame. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Not one. It won't be one. Because God has a plan. You see, God is so wise, he has a plan. But why is he doing all this? Why did he do it? How did he do it? Did he do it based on foreseen merit? No, he did it according to the good pleasure of his will. Because he doesn't have to ask anyone permission or anything. God does it according to his own designs and to his own will and purpose. And I just love that. Look, there's a lot that could be said here. There's a lot more in Ephesians chapter 1. I don't have time for today. But 1 Timothy 1:9 says that God hath saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Once again, there's a scripture that proves that God did not look down through the annals of time and see some good works that you were going to do one day. That's not the basis of his electing you. He didn't see it. But he did save us. He did call us with a holy calling. And it was not according to our works, but it was according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. You see, God was busy before the world began, wasn't he? God was very busy. He was very busy knowing you and loving you and choosing you and placing you in his Son before the world began, that one of these days you and I and every other child of God that has ever lived and ever will live will all stand together before him holy and without blame. God had a purpose. He still has a purpose. And guess what he's doing? He's bringing it to pass. One by one, year by year, God is bringing his purpose to pass, and nobody's going to interrupt his purpose and his will. Not even the serpent, who would love to do it. He can't do it. One more place where God tells us on what basis he did these things was in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Do we have a calling from the Lord? Yes, we do. Timothy said we have a holy calling. It's a calling of God that he calls his people. And he says the way that he called them was according to his purpose. I hope you're picking up a little bit on the pattern that you and I were not in the equation in any way. God did look down and foresee some kind of merit or a little bit of good or a little spark of glowing good within any of us. He didn't choose us based on that. It was all according to his own purpose and his own will. Place after place in the scriptures keep telling us this. It's all according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That sounds like we're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus, which is seated at the right hand of the Father even this very moment, holy and without blame, that we're going to conform to his image one day. Because God has done all these things, and all these things are working together for our good. Aren't you glad God knows what he's doing? Aren't you thankful that God has the wisdom to know how to save his people and he's going to make sure that it gets done? Aren't you glad that God is not concerned right now that he's worried he might lose one? That's a whole other subject. I'm not going into that today, but the subject of eternal security, aren't you glad that God is very content right now that he's not going to lose a single one of his children? Because of the effectualness of his workings, of his plan of salvation and how he's carried it out. His design is superb and above reproach. There's no mistakes in his design, and he's carrying that out day by day, year by year. We're heading in this direction. We're getting closer and closer to the time we'll all stand before him holy and without blame in love. That day's coming. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Lord's family is large. The family that he's adopting us into is a large family. Jesus has many brethren. I think I'm going to stop here for today, because maybe the next place I want to go would be over to Romans 9 to look at the subject of election a little bit. And again, really considering the sovereignty of the Lord. But that's going to take some time to go through that. Very important, but maybe that's something we can do. If the Lord willing, maybe I can try to continue on next Sunday with that subject and give you a chance to read Romans chapter 9. You can read that a couple of times and meditate and think on that. And if the Lord will bless us, we will try to go there and continue on into our study into the subject of election. It's very important, and it's one of the greatest things. It ought to bring the most joy to our hearts, probably of anything that we ever study, is the subject of God electing his people and ensuring that He's going to bring us to him, and he'll never lose a single one. May God bless and keep you.